Okay, here's something I was thinking about. Let me see if I can get it down. Ann Coulter. She tweeted something in regards to Tim Wall's son, who was emotional and crying and pointing at his father and excited, you know, just caught up in the moment. His emotions was, you know, a little bit, quote unquote, over the top. Or, I mean, they were over the top in the sense that they weren't what you would normally see, you know, at something like this. But, and she tweeted something like, and now this is weird, because the both parties are throwing the word weird around, where the Democrats are calling the Republicans weird. So she wanted to get back at him when she saw, you know, Tim Walz, the Democratic vice president nominee son, you know, getting overly emotional. And, you know, like I said, it was over the top for that situation. But the reason, or I don't know if you call reason or whatever, but the underlying catch to all that is that his son has disabilities and challenges. If I can put that the right way, he has a syndrome or some kind of, you know, disability or challenge. I'm going to stick with those words to stay safe, because I don't know what else to call it. That, you know, makes him a little bit more animated like that, or more emotional like that, or, you know, reactive like that. So when she saw that picture, you know, she obviously sees somebody who just kind of like, look like they may or may not be freaking out. She just tweeted, now this is weird, or something, where they call us weird, or something like that. Weird, use the word weird. By the time I heard about it, I guess she had taken the post down. She got slammed for it. And she had taken it down. The point I wanted to make was, when I saw the post, no, when I saw a copy of the post, or, you know, a screenshot of the post, my first thing was, my first thought was, she don't know the backstory. My first initial thought was, oops, she don't know the backstory on this. She doesn't know that he has disabilities or challenges like that. That was just my first thought. I don't know Ann Coulter. I've seen her a couple times here and there. And it may be my generalized idea about people and just the way I look and my overview of humanity to believe, as soon as I saw that, oh yeah, she doesn't know the backstory. She messed up. And of course she pulled it. You know, she pulled it after a while. You know, I don't know how long or when or how or whatever. But she ended up, you know, taking it down. But my thing about that whole situation was, to me, the biggest problem is that when somebody sees that, anybody, you know, I'm not talking about any particular person, somebody sees that, anybody, and then they immediately think that, you know, that person did it on purpose, that person is just hateful like that, that person has that kind of understanding or disposition to somebody with challenges or handicaps, if I can use that word. If you truly believe that Ann Coulter or anybody would do that deliberately, to be that hateful, then I think that's the bigger issue. I think that is the bigger issue. And it's not about you who thinks that. It's not about the person or individual who thinks that. It's not about the individual situation. It's the overall tone that we, and I have to include myself in that because I guess I'm a part of y'all no matter how much I digress, tend to do that. Well, I don't. Again, I say I don't. I just don't. My look at humanity, I just don't look at it that way. I give people the benefit of the doubt. Now, I will say this, and my sister will say it very quickly and often. I may give white people a better break than I give black people. I'm definitely harder on black people. I'm definitely more critical, if I can't use the word harsh, because to be harsh, you'd have to care. And I do care, but not enough to be harsh. But I'm much more critical about black people. And it could be because I think we need to get our shit together and quit worrying about them. What they do is just not a concern to me. It's less of a concern than what we do as black people. I'm not a victim. I don't want to be seen as a victim. I'm watching the Democratic National Convention. It was pretty much 90%. We'll give you this, we'll give you this, we'll give you this, we'll give you that, we'll give you this, we'll give you this. You know, it's all about inclusion. You shouldn't be put down. It's all about being a victim. It's all about victimization almost. This is almost like the victimization party. The put down, the disenfranchised, left behind, people, this, you know, him and his rich donors, him and his rich people, only care about the rich, them against us, you know, that whole thing. I don't see myself in that. I can't see myself as being a victim. I cannot even visualize myself as being a victim because basically I've gotten everything I've wanted out of life. There's no way I can act like I'm a victim or somebody's holding me down or this or that because I've gotten every goddamn thing I've ever wanted out of life. And I'm 10 times black, 10 times obnoxious, 10 times, met 10 times as many people as half of the people who swear white people are racist devils. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And I've been a lot more places, seen a lot more things, done a lot more stuff, and accomplished a lot more than a lot of black people who swear whitey out to get them, who don't even got a college degree. But my take on that was mainly to get out that those of us who think the other side are demons and they hate us and they would do such vile things, if your first reaction, and I even give, well, I may, like I said, I'm probably a little bit harder on black people, but if something go down, I want to know what happened before I demonize. You know, I want to know what happened before I demonize. In fact, I got in trouble for saying, can we just wait for the facts in the Trayvon Martin thing? Can we just wait on the facts on the Trayvon Martin thing before we jump to conclusions? And in that case, I may have been harder on Trayvon, on black people. And in my mind, I admit, I was like, that nigga was up something. And I say nigga in affectionately. I was like, that brother was up to something. He's probably out there. What was he doing walking around 3 o'clock in the morning anyway? Sure, you're allowed to walk around 3 o'clock in the morning. Nothing illegal about that. A lot of people do it all the time. But if you do it, you got to understand stuff can go down. And my thing was, let's just wait for the facts. Let's just wait for the facts. You know, let's wait till what we understand or what we're going to decide to be as facts. And I got in trouble for that, for not just jumping on the bandwagon immediately. Of course, that was way back earlier in this social media experiment. Now, people are a little bit open-minded. They understand there's going to be different points of view. They understand that, you know, there's going to be criticisms either way. There's going to be points either way. And that you really got to lay out your argument now if you want to make a statement. People are starting to understand it. You really have to almost lay out an argument or put something down behind every statement you make. Well, not every, but you know what I mean in general. You just can't throw something out there and expect it not to be criticized or scrutinized. And some people put stuff out there just so it can be scrutinized and criticized. Some people put stuff out there that's quote unquote incorrect, that they don't believe, just to drum up something. And that's just part of social media. I get it. And quite frankly, I kind of like it to a degree. The only thing I don't like is ads. I'm starting to see ads in my feed that just aren't true. I mean, sensationalized promotions where they just claim something ain't true. Like they talk about Pittsburgh Steelers sign Brandon Ayuk or something. Knowing that's not true. Or, you know, this false information. That I can't deal with. That, you know, I just hit hide this ad. Don't let me see this person no more. Or you see these sensationalized ads with people talking about, like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Stop that. You know, I don't want to. No. I don't care if it's sponsored. I don't want to be. I'm not interested in that kind of sensationalized bullshit. No matter how entertaining it might be for a micro minute. Just don't need it. But as far as the whole social media landscape goes, there's a lot of stuff being put out there. It's twisted certain ways. Everybody needs to be fact-checked. Both sides need to be fact-checked. You got to look at what Oprah says, the claims Oprah made. I think Bill Clinton put the one out there. He said, since the Cold War, there's been 50 million jobs or something like that created or something. He said the Democrats created, he said 51 million jobs, 51 million jobs have been created since the Cold War. And he said Democrats have created 50 million of them. Now, Bill Clinton gonna do his research. And he said it too. I researched this. I made sure. He said, I didn't believe it. I researched it. You know, and I Googled it, of course. And, you know, he was rough. The numbers was roughly about that. You know. Just gotta watch that information. But the whole point was, there's gonna be stuff out there. There's going to be people who are going to say stuff just to get triggered. They're going to say stuff that's going to be inappropriate and, you know, off the wall just to trigger you, to get the likes, to get the attention, to go through the fire. Because if they go through the fire, they get the news attention and they get the exposure that they may or may not want. And then there's people like I said, I go back to Ann Coulter, who... To me, it was an obvious mistake. To me, I was like, oops, she don't know the backstory, or she wouldn't have posted that. And maybe she is a person who would do something like that to a degree, say something to trigger the left, to trigger the left, to antagonize her opponent. She does is kind of something like that person. But I'm looking at that, and I'm like, she don't know the backstory. Because even people on her side are gonna condemn this. You can't, there's certain things you just can't do. There's certain things that are taboo. And doing that was just not the right, it was a mistake. I mean, come on, people. It was a mistake. If she knew, she wouldn't have done it. And I guess what I'm saying is, if you believe that she knew he had disabilities or challenges, and she did it anyway to make fun of him, if you believe she did that like that, that I think that is where the bigger issue lies. And I'm not talking about any individual. For so many of us to just to believe that they did it to be mean to him, that she did it to be mean to Tim Walz's son. Now, she might have did it. She might have known it and did it. And no, I can't even say that. I was going to say maybe she had known it and did it just to get, you know, trigger people with the understanding that you can, I don't want to say you can make fun of challenged or handicapped people, but no, I can't say that because that wouldn't, it wouldn't have worked. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I mean, you can make fun of like somebody who can't walk in a wheelchair. You can make jokes about wheelchairs. You know, it's okay now. Almost. You can almost make jokes. You can make jokes about Stevie Wonder being blind, you know, so, along those lines. But I don't see her or anybody thinking it's okay to come after, to make jokes about that yet. Maybe in 10, 15 years, you know, we'll have a better understanding of kids with these kind of syndromes or these kind of disabilities or whatever, to where we can, quote unquote, laugh at it. Laugh together, not laugh at it, but laugh with it. You know what I mean? Like how we can laugh now with, you know, people who can't walk, people in a wheelchair. You can make jokes of, you can see memes or something of them rolling off a pier or off a cliff, and you know, we laugh. You know, it's kind of okay now. But to laugh at a child or a young person with a disability like that, not now. So I don't even think, even if she knew it, so if she knew it and she did it, you know, just to test the waters, I don't, well, okay. If she knew it, I don't think she did it out of hate. If she did it to get views, if she did it to get sensationalized, if she did it to, you know, say, ooh, watch this. This is going to make the internet jump. Watch, I'm going to get, this is going to get, you know, an internet jump. And she did it. I believe she did it like that. I don't think, believe she did it out of hate or spite. She might have just did it. I'm assuming that she knew about the challenges that Tim Walson had. I'm assuming that she didn't, that she knew, and she still did it. I'm just trying to run down the scenarios that she knew and she did still did it. There may be no justification. For some people, there's going to be no justification for it. For some people, there's definitely going to be no justification for it. But my thing also has always been that even for black people, if you want to get in the game, you got to take the hits and the jabs and the, you know, jokes that everybody else takes. You want to be treated fairly? Well, we fairly talk shit about these people. These people get this, these people get that. You know, you can't ask to be treated equal. I was thinking about that, about the gay community or whatever. You can't ask to be treated equal and then ask for special attention or special handling. You in the game, we talk about you. You want to be equal? You know, somebody gonna talk about your mama. You know, I mean, maybe not your mom, but you know what I'm saying? You want to get in. And then eventually, I'm sure, we're going to get to the point where nothing's off limits. Because more and more, it's becoming not off limits. Less and less is becoming off limits because our understanding is growing. Our understanding is slowly growing that people can say things to be funny and not be hateful. You just try, sometimes some jokes are just bad and some of them just miss the mark inappropriately on accident. Some of them are just maybe taken out of context. Some of them it could just be worded incorrectly. And I think we have to understand that before we see something and just say they're spawns of Satan, they hate, they demon, you know. That's basically what I'm saying. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. And me, I just give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, oh, you know, he didn't mean that. They didn't mean that. You know, oh, she didn't mean that. But I've always done that, you know. I've always done that. And I will admit that sometimes I don't give black people that same break. I don't know why. Probably because I'm racist. But sometimes I just don't give black people that same break sometimes. And I have to admit it. And if I do that, if I give white people a break that I don't give black people, it's because of my experience. It's the only thing I got to go on is my experience. That's all I got. I ain't got nothing else. I can hear what you tell me. I can try to understand it. I can read the statistics. I can do that. I can do this. But the bottom line, the underlying essence of everything I think and believe comes from my direct experience. And my experience leads me to feel this way or to act whatever way it is. To act this way, whatever way I think, you know. I'm not even sure which way it is. Whatever, whichever way I'm led, whichever way, wherever my subconscious hovers. I don't know. So that's kind of what I want to get out about that whole thing. And it kind of, I think what I heard from Obama's speech was that, again, he's like, we got to understand Republicans. We got to understand people we don't disagree with. We got to talk to them. We got to have that dialogue. And what I got from Obama's speech, he was talking about something bigger than the presidency. He was just talking about uplifting human understanding. And that's, somebody got to start talking about it. Even though how far away we are from it, we're slowly getting there. Social media is helping us slowly get there just by having people exposed to different viewpoints. Letting people know that, oh yeah, there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there that you don't know or haven't seen or haven't experienced. And there's a lot of people who don't think the way you do. And these are the reasons why they do. And some of them are going to be more successful, whatever successful means in you. You know, some of them are going to be this, some of them are going to be that. And this is their point of view. This is why they did it. You know, it's not as congenially sanitized as manicured media on TV, where everything is kept nice and clean and neat. And all the sharp edges are taken off. Social media, especially Twitter, they go after it. And I'm glad they do. I'm glad they have that. In fact, Twitter goes after it to a point I don't even go on Twitter. Actually, I want to learn Twitter. I want to learn how to use Twitter. I want to learn how to effectively use Twitter. Go on there and read stuff. Because I love, and I think it's important that we get information and communication directly from the person. That's changing everything. You don't got to go through a news source or a magazine or a paper or get it from a reporter, journalist. Now you can, an individual can tweet out to millions and you can fairly much rely on it's them, what they think, you know, that the information is coming from the core, from the source. And that's kind of why I got excited when I realized the internet. You know, I was going to be able to have my own platform uncensored. Back in 1997, 98, I think it was 97 when I got people on one.com. But anyway, and that's what Obama said. Just got to give them a break. You know, they're not demons. They just think differently than you. And both sides say the other side is evil. Both sides say the same thing. They have different agendas. They have different ways that they think that they're going to help America, help society. Now, it's funny that it's cut down only two parties. It's only a two-party system. That is very limiting, if you ask me. Independence, they can't muster up nothing. And Cuomo today, I saw Cuomo a clip today. Cuomo was at the DNC and he was showing all the suites up there. He said, you see all those suites up there? Those things are $500,000, $700,000, $1 million a suite. He said, those are the big corporate donors. That's where the big money is. You see them up there looking down on us? He said, don't just think it's the Republicans. Don't just think it's the Republicans with the big donors and the powerful corporate, you know, heads and corporate power. He said, don't think it's just the Republicans. He said, all those suites up there, $500,000, $1 million. You know, that's where the money is. That's who's controlling this thing. Don't think it's not. He's on News Nation. Also Google News Nation. I think I get News Nation on my Fire Stick. Fire Stick has an app called News. I think News Nation is in there. You know, I just like to see different stuff. Get different, you know, different media outlets. I killed my YouTube TV because I realized the only reason I wanted to have it was to have live TV, CNN, and I don't even watch CNN no more. I don't even watch it anymore. Then I really started to understand that a lot of this stuff I can get right off of YouTube now. And then on the Fire Stick, there's an app called News where NBC has a live feed. And I can just watch that if I need something live. You know, it's going to be, if you need something live, if you need to be on the scene, if something go down, they'll get cameras there. Something like that, you know, like maybe not as good as Fox. My God, Fox be on the scene before the tragedy happened. I don't know how they do that. Fox be there before everybody. But I killed my YouTube TV. So there's a news app on the Fire Stick. I just scroll through there to see what's available. You know, I even get some Youngstown news, WKBN, WFMJ news, actual weather forecast, small town weather forecast. It's interesting to see the different personalities, different people compared to the LA bright and shiny people and versus the local Youngstown personalities. But I just want to say that I think I got it out pretty well. And in my mind, maybe I am thinking at the next level. You know, I'm not, a lot of this stuff that people are bickering over, I mean, a lot of this stuff that people are discussing and dealing with is behind me. I'm like, that stuff is petty. Why are you even concerned about that? Okay, you got, it's not important. That's not the bigger issue. And again, it could be the bigger issue is that one side actually believes that people like Ann Coulter are evil and hateful and really want to do demonic things. Well, not demonic, but, you know, do like horrific things that can't stand you. Another thing I'll say about black people, then I'm going to get off of here, is that I'm thinking black people worry about white people. Because you talk to a lot of black people, they say, they swear black, white people hate them. They swear, I go back home, they swear white people can't stand black people. White people hate black people. White people want to keep black people down, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, that sure is egocentric for you to be thinking that white people be thinking about you that much. I don't get it. I'm like, do you think about them? But actually, I'll say, if I say, do you think about them that much? The answer is yes, they do. Black people always are thinking about what white people do or white people think. Most of the agenda is almost based off of what white people do or don't do. Well, I ain't gonna say most, but a lot. Believe me, a lot. So, I can understand that. But if you ask me, I look at it for white people to feel the way that you say they do about black people, they'd have to even be thinking about black people. I don't even think they think about black people. I think it's just not a blip on the radar. Now, black people gonna say, well, that's racism, because they're not even aware. Blah, 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 blah. White silence is violence. Blah, 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 blah. No. White people don't care about you. You're not on the radar. For them to hate you and to want to keep you down and to be trying to do this against you, keep you in your places, that means you even got to be a blip on their radar, and you're not. Now, of course, there's some out there that do, and we're always gonna have that, but it's a minority. It's a very small minority, very small. What people, what white people care about, and what these fat cat white billionaires or white people you think are so racist against black people, what they care about is your credit score. And if your credit score is in the 500, damn right they prejudice against you. If your credit score in 400, damn right you're a nigger. Even if you was white, if your credit score is so low, you a nigger. They don't care about your color no more. They care about them dollars in your pocket. Your economic standing. Your criminal record. Your education. Because somebody, I think it was John Hope Ryan said, when they give out these loans and stuff, a computer does it. They don't look up your race. They look up the statistics on your profile. They give out money, credit, whatever. It's dealt out at midnight by computers. No human being sitting there saying, oh, should we get this nigger some money? No. They do that based on your credit score and all that, your education, your history. They probably even do searches to find out who you related to. The credit scores, well, they probably can't get the credit scores of certain people unless because they didn't apply. But they can do a lot of research to find out who you hang with or whatever. This, where you lived at, this, that. And they make a judgment. It ain't got to do with white or black. At least not anymore. Not to the degree it used to. I think that stigma, that day is gone. But I'm not saying it's none of it exists. Some of it exists, but not enough to affect your life as much as a lot of black people think. Black people think that white people sitting around plotting against them. Black people think that white people are sitting around plotting against them. I can say that 100% guaranteed. I mean, not 100% guaranteed, but full faith. That I know for a fact. I talk to too many black people. Black people think white people sit around and are plotting against them. And my thing is, white people ain't even thinking about your broke, no degree having, 600 credit score ass. You insignificant. You wish they was thinking about you, but they ain't. Anyhow, and again, that might sound like I'm defending white people. It might sound like I'm defending white people, but I think what I'm probably doing is counterpointing the overwhelming black narrative that it's all whitey's fault. Whitey owe us reparations. Whitey keeping us down. It's a racist society. We're all victims. Identity politics. Black man. Blah, blah, blah. But you know what? And I'm watching the Democratic National Convention. Diversity simply is no white males unless they're gay. No heterosexual. Diversity means no white heterosexual men. Everybody else is cool. And they even starting to slow down on how many white females you see. This from the Democratic National Convention. It was blatant. It was just truly blatant. I'm watching it. At the beginning, it was all minorities. In the crowd, on the stage, it was like all minorities. You didn't see a white male, that stereotypical white male, until like 2 hours in. And they call that diversity. And I think it's made up. I think it's patronizing. I think it's not even a facade. I wouldn't even call it a facade. I would call it a misguided attempt to correct something that may or may not exist to the degree that they're trying to correct it. I don't think it's worth all that resource to go out there and do that at this point. Maybe 30, 50 years ago. Yeah. But not now. Because we rolling. Look around. Look around at the people who ain't rolling and see what similarities they have. Look around at the people who are and see what similarities that they have. That's all I'm saying. And I bet you'll find out then it's not cut by race. Now, there's going to be more white people successful? Yeah, because of the simple demographics. White people still make up a lot more people in this country. Black people only make up 13% of this country. So at any given moment, in any given thing, you should only see 13% of the people should be black. Anything more than 13% of the people being black, it's overrepresented. You can say that. You cut on TV now, 75% of the people you see on TV gonna be black. I believe that's overrepresented. It's heavy-handed. It's a heavy-handed correction. And you say, oh, but everything you see is female too. Everything you see is female. Another over heavy-handed correction. But I get it. The pendulum will swing back eventually. It'll swing back in balance. Yeah, because that's what we humans do. Anyhow, so we're going to yell two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that ever existed in any atom, in any universe, or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. Totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.